The Illuminati Telegraph.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, episode 18. Couple updates, Alfred and the Tednators. If you're in Denver, June 4th, come out to Lost Lake Lounge. We're going to be rocking it again. It'll be my first show playing there. I'm kind of excited. Last time I had a show booked there, I fell out with the band, so I didn't get to play at that venue. So this will be a good night where I get to complete that circle. Come out to the show in Denver if you're there. Let me know. I'll buy you a drink. I'll give you a shirt and a CD. Whatever you want. Whatever you want. Golgothan TV, check them out on Twitch. They're streaming. I like tuning into that. But a couple of updates. We got a live record coming out, live video, Alfred and the Tednators. Check out our YouTube to stay up to date with that. Definitely jam our records. Put a lot of time mixing and mastering so you could rock that thing the fuck out. Golgothan's shit is heavy. Death of Skepsis is heavy. What else is going on? I think we're going to be making it all public on Patreon so you don't have to pay, but you can donate. Because we want people to get the video. But I don't want to put it on YouTube because YouTube fucking sucks. So, but we're going to get right into this episode. Just a couple quick announcements. Thanks for joining, everybody. Boom, let's do it. What's up, man? Did you do Kettlebell Killer this week?
No, I just played some Overwatch on PlayStation.
Oh, yeah, I saw that Tuesday.
Yep, so no, nothing too wild this week.
I actually was in the room for like 12 seconds. I was at work. I clicked it.
Oh, thanks for clicking it, giving us one. Appreciate it.
Yeah, y'all didn't run an ad on me, though, so you didn't make any money. I didn't have any ad.
No, we don't run ads typically.
Y'all had an ad one time. I remember
seeing like a we make fake ads.
No, I think it was a real ad. I thought it was monetized.
I don't know. I'd have to ask Jarek about that. But I don't take breaks for ads during my streams typically. Mm-hmm. And whenever I do, it's during Kettlebell Killer, and I'm in between sets, and it's all ads that we just created ourselves. So it's like funny short clips basically with all the bands in their own characters advertising their own versions of the Twitch stream.
I started listening to Cannibal Corpse recently.
Oh really?
Yeah. You ever listen to them? You ever heard of them?
Yes, I've heard of Cannibal Corpse. Something happened here. Yeah, I've heard of Cannibal Corpse.
I never got into them, but now I realize they're kind of the godfathers of double bass screaming metal, right? They go way back to the 90s. They were double bassing and screaming. Like, goddamn.
Way back.
When super far back.
Their first vocalist. Terrible. The riffs are always sick.
Yeah, it was weird. They actually had some pretty weird stuff. I don't even know if they're using time signatures. It seems like they just kind of hit everything at the same time. You just got to learn the
death metal.
Yeah.
Still around today, crushing it.
Yeah, I put it on Cannibal Corpse Radio and discovered a band called Cataclysm. Heard of them?
Yeah.
With a K?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I might be behind. I don't ever really listen to the metal bands.
Who else did you discover?
Bolt Thrower.
Bolt Thrower, okay. I know who Bolt Thrower is.
Obituary.
I know Obituary. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some names were coming through. A couple other ones, I forget the names, but yeah, it's been fun just jamming some dark metal. I've always stayed away from just dark music. It's not interesting to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the darkest I'll go.
You got into it for a little while today?
I mean, this week, I say dark music, but I don't know, it's like Black Sabbath.
Anything with a dark feel to it like that.
Tool. I know Tool's good, but I don't listen to him. You know what I'm saying?
Not Tool.
Who else? You like Tool?
No, I said I'm not particularly a Tool fan.
Yeah, I don't not like them. I know they're good.
Yeah.
I bought their last record and I listened to it several times. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know. There's something I don't connect to. And who else? Beck. I know he's good, but when I listen to it, there's just kind of a darkness that it gets kind of boring. I can't pay attention.
after 3.5 minutes of these really abstract, indiscernible lyrics over like a drum kit that sounds super terrible.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just start nitpicking. It's like, it's just dark. It doesn't suck. You know what I'm saying? But like, I'd rather listen to Five Iron Frenzy, or maybe they Zero just dropped a new record.
Did he?
It's pretty good. He's been dropping a lot, but the new one is pretty good.
I thought he said he retired after his last one.
Oh, you're one of those, huh? No, he immediately dropped another record and then like five more.
I have him on like Apple Music and shit. I follow him. So
okay.
But I didn't see it.
No, he's got a lot of new stuff he's been dropping. Sadism was good. He's got like a whole new wave of music that's good on top of the last generation of music that was good.
So you just don't, it's so weird. You say you don't enjoy like dark sounding music like that, but you were in a metal band.
Yeah, but it's the dark isn't necessarily the style. It's just like the vibe, like on heroin and just putting off these really spacey, druggy, dark vibes where every song is about like, I'm still just the rat in the cage. And it's like over and over and over. There's some quality to like the most popular bands that make rock and roll.
So did you get that? Did you get that vibe from like Cannibal Corpse and other bands?
Absolutely. I still get bored. Yeah, I still get bored listening to it. I'm like, okay, I get it. It's just, I don't not like it though. You know what I'm saying? But there's just always been something about, I don't really, all these bands people know, I don't know, because I've never been interested for whatever reason. Like Beck and Tool. Like, I don't really listen.
Yeah, I get it.
Not a negative thing, but it's also like my music that I really do like the Reliant K's and the Five Irons. People don't like that because it's too like bright or something. So it's just flipped.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or like August Burns Red. People that are like Cannibal Corpse and they're felons and they just got out of prison and they're like 44. You know what I'm saying? You put on August Burns Red and they're like, what the fuck is this shit? Like, there's a bright quality to it. I get it. You know what I'm saying? There's like a bright and a dark. Like even the pop, like Anne Berlin. I was into that, but I never really got into, I don't know who would be comparable. Saleson maybe, although they're really good and had some good songs. That one always just felt a little grungier and dark to me.
What, Saleson?
Yeah, even Saleson.
Didn't they have, yeah, I remember.
Between the Buried and Me has that same quality. I like it when I hear it, I respect it, but I hear it and I'm like, I don't know. But I also like
Buried and Me even has happier sounding stuff.
Yeah, there's just something about it. I don't know, man. I don't know.
You just don't like the vibe of certain bands, I think is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's like a vibe. It's like this really dry darkness. It's really bland, kind of dry darkness. It's not a bad thing. I'm probably wrong about it.
And you don't feel Death of Scouts has had that?
No, because songs like Birdman and Wonder Bread and the pace and the complexity of the music, you know what I'm saying, brought it to a different level.
I guess so. There's some really technical death metal out there, though.
Yeah, that's what I was about
to
say.
Way more technical than Death of Skepsis was.
Yeah, because between the Buried and Me, super technical, but so it didn't really apply. It's not necessarily a logical perspective that I have.
Yeah. I get you.
I just never listened to Cannibal Corpse.
Didn't like the vibe. Yeah, okay, I get it.
So now I'm listening.
I was just wondering about the vibe. Yeah.
Cannibal Corpse. Who's some other ones? Megadeth. I should probably listen to more of that. It probably has to do with coming up in Christian school and being like 8 years old and hearing through the grapevine that like Cannibal Corpse is
not
like
that. Like,
I just always associated them with like the, like South Crowley where I'm from, just those faded black shirts and these like drugs, cigarette guys that like have no future. Those have always been the people that liked these bands. So I've always been like, that's not my thing.
I get it.
That's probably what it is.
Probably so.
Yeah.
I get it. But I like some of those bands. So now you can have a new association. Maybe I am that faded black shirt, druggy dude hanging out. I'm not hanging out in South Carolina, though.
Yeah, you're not. Your Crash Springs is a different animal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was just wondering about your feelings on that.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm listening to it, because I think about these bands and I'm like, I need to listen to that, because I know the reason I haven't listened is a dumb reason.
What's crazy is like Death of Skepsis, you know, even considering that heavy of a music as a style is because of bands like Cannibal Corpse.
Exactly. Kind
of, back in the day.
Yeah, exactly. Because I started at the beginning, like that record in 1990. They probably had some before, but Spotify doesn't have everything.
Probably. I mean, there's some newer ones you could listen to that are better quality then.
I was like, dang, these dudes were thrashing hard in 1990. Because I thought
they were, even back then.
Yeah. Super hardcore. Because you think Metallica is who started metal. It's like, dude, that was the 90s. And
like, well, Metallica started in like 82.
82. Well, they weren't thrashing like Cannibal Corpse, right?
Hmm.
Cannibal Corpse is just straight screaming.
I don't know. Cannibal Corpse might have even started before 90s. Let me see.
Like, Cannibal Corpse is just straight screaming. It's screaming double bass. It doesn't cross over into any kind of rock alternative like Metallica. At least they have chords and singing.
Started in 90. So, yeah, Cannibal Corpse started in 88.
That makes sense. Death metal, because it's all about death. Like, even Cataclysm is all about all these bands are themed in the same way of like some kind of, like, even Golgothan, y'all are very Cannibal Corpse-ish, but y'all have a different spin to the death part. It's like a Golgothan occultic, and everything's themed like that.
I hope we don't come off as the serious metal band be trying to be super dark, because that is not Golgothan's intent. Our intent is comedy more so than anything else.
Well, you gotta see your band.
Visually, like, even lyrically, though.
But can you make out the lyrics, though?
You can.
Sometimes. I mean, I listen to metal, too. I know that one can make out the lyrics.
I mean, you gotta be listening to the lyrics, though. Like, there's a lot going on. But actually, our music is not overly complex either, though. But there are hard riffs in it. But
you have some cool riffs, though. Some really cool riffs. Speaking of riffs, I think it was, like, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, I sent you like demo B modes, man. I'm still waiting on you to rework B modes. I sent you Precipice like 2 years ago.
Yeah, do this to me on the podcast.
Vulture
on the podcast.
Vulture Stone. I've been over here writing songs. I'm waiting on some riffs.
All right. You got
some cool riffs though. We need some more of that. I'm about to get a new double bass pedal too. Working on that.
A new double. What are you getting?
I'm thinking about a Trick. The speed. They don't make Axis anymore. No one carries it.
What? Don't make Axis anymore?
I mean, they do, but like Sweetwater and the main places don't carry it. I don't know what the fuck the deal with that is. But Trick is the new thing. The new badass.
Trick is the name of the pedals?
Yeah, T-R-I-K. Okay. I watched this video review and shit. But
damn.
I want to get super, super fast.
You're getting some new gear then. That's cool. New gear is always exciting.
Yeah, man.
They're pressuring me to get. So, like, I need a new head. I have a guitar, but, like, they've been pressuring me to get a new guitar. And so John just bought one.
Why do you need a new one? Because yours is nice as frick, right?
It's just they want me to get a new one that has a Floyd on it, right? So we can do dive bombs, shit like that. So it will help a bit musically there. But also, they wouldn't want me to have one I've always wanted one too, like a V. Like, so we wanted me to get a V because John has a very spiky looking guitar. It'd look cool if I had a V too. And then we have a certain color scheme we're going with going forward as a band. And so, like, the finish I would be looking at also has that same color scheme. And so, me and John have both been looking at since. I'll send you a picture later on of the guitar. But John and I have been looking at the same guitar. Same guitar company. His is like an X style, and I'm looking at just the straight up classic V.
Whoa, that would be so badass, like an X.
Well, it's like a.
That would be.
Yeah,
so
it's badass. Like a. It like comes out like that.
Dude, like you know what you should do?
Oh, like pointy. You know. Anyway, cool. So John, John just dropped it on. Yeah, it's like a pointy X.
Yeah.
But it doesn't come off. The top one doesn't have an X, so it's like a three-way. I guess it has 3 points to it.
Right. Dude, it'd be cool to get a Warhammer shaped. Like, the neck is the handle, and then this is just like a...
Like a hammer?
Yeah. And you could get a sponsorship with Ibanez and make the Jesse Majors edition Warhammer, the Ibanez Warhammer, 8-string with the Floyd.
Okay.
Holy shit.
Yeah, if they would pay for it, I would not pay. If they would give that to me for free, sure, but I wouldn't pay for that shit. It would be impossible to, like, sit and play with a Warhammer-shaped guitar.
Mm.
Maybe not. I don't know. It's like,
yeah, sitting classical style with this huge 3-point.
At least with a V, I could still sit with it.
Practicing with all 6 fingers? 5 yeah. fingers. Dude, that would be in your costume before a show, warming up a documentary about Jesse from Golgothan, and you're warming up in the back on a classical like this in your costume.
maybe that will happen.
Warming up before a death metal show. Flamenco.
John just ordered that his guitar with that X style from this company, and so like now they're pressuring me, like I definitely have to get it now. And it's not a fucking cheap guitar, it's like $1,800, but super nice. I do want one.
Yeah, I'm using the Sweetwater financing. I'm about to finance 2 new monitors, PreSonus 5-inch monitors, and some nice studio headphones this 6 months. I got to give these back to my buddy. PreSonus monitors to match my PreSonus subwoofer and my PreSonus interface.
Have you looked into like the Yamaha monitors?
Yeah, but you know, for price and all that, these PreSonuses are perfect.
Oh, I figured the PreSonus were more expensive.
No, they're only $150 a piece, so $300 for the pair. Oh, or they had like the JBL combo that was $240. So I was like, I'll just do an extra $60 or $70 and just get the right ones that match my whole system. My speakers and my sub will be the same brand. You can't go wrong with that. PreSonus speakers.
And your interfaces are PreSonus?
Yeah, everybody's got the JBLs or that one with the yellows. You know, everyone's got the cell. It's like,
you got to be different. So that's...
Well, not different, but just like, you know, considering they were out of stock also. It's like, will these work? Then I'm going to finance the pedal. Then I want to start getting into like a new drum kit, man. Badass 4-piece kit. Get rid of this old thing.
What are you getting? You getting a custom kit?
I don't know, man. I might just go drum by drum. Get the right kick drum. Get a big, like, you know, get a deep 24-inch. Pay it off, and then get like a nice 10-inch, like a DW 10-inch, and then get like a big Tama 16-inch floor. You know what I mean? Be different.
Mix it up.
Yeah, mix it up. Drum by drum.
Aren't you looking at these like custom drum companies? They have a bunch of them out now.
Yeah, I'm definitely, but they won't finance as easy as Sweetwater, so I'll have to save up. Like, and those are expensive, man. Like a custom drum kit is like upwards 8,000, 5,000.
Fuck, I was thinking like maybe 3,000.
Maybe you're talking for 3,000. You're talking their base level, and it's like, you know what I'm saying. But because I remember back in the day, I transposed my kit on the Truth website, Truth Drums, Aaron Gillespie. Yeah. And for a 7-piece, because I had 3 rack toms and 2 floors, I might have done just the 6-piece, because at that time I had the 2s and the 2 and the kick. It was more than $5,000.
Oh my God.
It was like 5,500.
It's ridiculous.
So if I just do drum by drum and get like a good $500 kick drum, something, yeah, I don't know, we'll figure that out.
First, the double bass pedals.
True. Well, I actually got to get Stevo the 5-string bass for recording. So there's a lot of shit on the list, but we'll get there.
Step by step.
Yeah, but we need to get like a preset method of Death of Skepsis shit so we can publish consistently.
I need to get a rhythm for it. I need to work it into, I need to get better at time management to work that into the rhythm with Golgothan and everything else that I'm doing too. I need to get a rhythm for it.
Yeah, because once we record all this stuff, we'll need to keep writing and just keep stacking it. Keep stacking. Stacking.
Yeah. For sure, we do. Well, we have some more news we're going to talk through again for this episode tonight. So just to kind of quickly cover the headlines of the articles we're going to talk through tonight. One that you sent me right after the podcast last week of Iran banning the import of the UK and the US COVID vaccines. Scientists unlocking the secret to the, how do you say it, Dylan? The
what ancient
anti-Kythera mechanism.
Yeah. Anti-Kythera. That's correct.
They found new Dead Sea Scrolls in a cave in the Judean desert. And then I don't know if you even looked at these, but I sent you two tech articles because I did say I was going to send you some tech-related articles last week.
I did look at these.
And I wanted to talk about the Signal app in China, which was secretly banned, and then DuckDuckGo. And the reason I'm talking about this one is because I know a little bit about the background of how all this got started, so that's why I chose this article. So there we go. Where you want to start, man?
DuckDuckGo uses App Store privacy labels to call out Google for spying on users. I like this, to be able to look at the app you're going to download it, see a label.
What they're talking about here is with iOS 14, you know, this whole past year, Apple's been taking a hardline stance on privacy. It's been integrated into the past several operating systems where users are getting more and more control over their privacy on their devices. Like if you have a newer version of Safari on your Mac, you'll notice that you can see which sites are tracking you. Whenever you open your home page, in fact, I can off screen share with you and show you.
Yes.
Just to show you this as an example. All right, can you see my screen? All right, so whenever I open a new tab, yes, boom, I have a privacy report right here. So in the last 7 days, Safari has prevented 104 trackers from profiling me.
Wow.
I can click on that, and it will show me the websites.
Is that on my computer, too?
If you have a newer version of Mac OS. So it shows me the websites and the trackers that are attempting to collect my information as I'm browsing the web, and Safari is going in the background and scrubbing that and backing me on that. Wow, so Apple has been implementing a bunch of these types of technology into our new operating systems. And with iOS 14, we introduced something called the App Store Nutrition Label. And what that basically means is that as you're browsing for new apps in the App Store on iOS, there will be the equivalent of a privacy nutrition label that you can see associated with each app, which will show you the types of information that app is collecting on you that may be linked to your identity. And it'll break it down into different categories. So you'll see things like analytics, product personalization, app functionality, third-party advertising, developer advertising or marketing, and you can see where your information is going and which data is linked to you. So Google, whenever we had launched this, apparently Google had been stalling to reveal this information. And DuckDuckGo is, you know, that browser that doesn't collect any of your information whenever you use it. They have a pretty good DuckDuckGo private browsing or private browsing app comparable to Google Chrome. That doesn't collect any of your data. And so they use this as an opportunity to call Google out on the amount of data that they collect on you, while also pointing out the fact that they had stalled for months because they don't want users to know just how much data they're collecting on them. And I'll just share my screen again just so folks can see the screen. I'll pull up the tweet here. Anyway, sorry I ranted there for a little bit. So what are your thoughts on that?
That's not as bad as the 20 minutes I just killed talking about gear I'm going to finance through Sweetwater. So if any of the listeners made it this far, you're a real champ. I like this whole thing. I use DuckDuckGo, and the privacy is great. But also, if you use Google to search up some stuff that's happening, current events, like Tulsi Gabbard after the debates, agree with her or not, Google's dropped her from search results because she was breaking records, and they didn't like this. The system didn't want to push her, even though she just destroyed Camila. Everyone was searching her up, and they took her out of the search results. You couldn't find anything about her. It's crazy. So DuckDuckGo, on more than one occasion, you can find stories that are happening. If you search them up on Google, you won't find it.
Yep, you're absolutely right.
All the time.
Now, all it's the time. Interesting sometimes, and I'll switch back and forth between Google and DuckDuckGo and do different searches just to kind of see how it filters things out. And sometimes they match up, and sometimes they don't. So there does seem to be either a algorithmic bias to Google's search engine, or they're actually going in as humans and altering it and trying to block you from seeing certain information. Anyway, I have the image pulled up of this is what the privacy labels look like. So on the left, you can see right here, we have DuckDuckGo, data linked to you. This is the following data that may be collected and linked to your identity. It does not share any personal information. And then Google, they have two Google apps they have on here. They have Google Chrome and Google. It's the Google app itself. And you can see the list of information it collects on you when you use these applications.
In your data like that, that's a lot of data. What is that saying? Can you read some of those?
Yeah, so let's see. Under third-party advertising, your location, search history, browsing history, usage data. Under analytics, you have user content, audio data, customer support, browsing history, identifiers like your user ID or your device ID.
Financial info.
Where'd you see financial info?
Right under app functionality.
Yeah, financial info. So payment information. Diagnostics. So just a ton of data that they're constantly harvesting on you as you use their apps, thinking that you're using their service, but they're just using this data to collect and build a profile on you to turn around and market you specific ads and things like that, and curate what you see.
Yeah, that's so wild. And they don't want to show you that they're doing that, so much so that they'll stall for months to not put these logos that say they're doing it, because they know people won't agree to this. That's the whole thing, is that stalling and the not wanting to disclose is like an admission that they know people don't want this.
Yeah, so this, because this went live in December, and I think Google just added their labels.
So if let's say they do ask you if you want to let your data be sold like that, used like that, and you say, okay, yeah, what is it? What's in it for you to say yeah? No one's going to say yeah unless you pay them. Like, you want to make your business better and increase your profits off of my data? Okay, pay me. But they don't.
And that's the whole pissing match right now with Apple and Facebook, is Apple's like saying, hey, you can't. We're not going to just allow you to go on here and collect the user's data that use our devices without letting that user know you're collecting all this data. Like, it's just to play ball with us and be featured in our app store and stuff. You have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And Facebook's like, oh, no, fuck that. Like, we shouldn't have to disclose. I get they once again, it's one of those things. They don't want to disclose the amount of data that they're constantly collecting on you every time you use their application. And their argument is that this is going to hurt small business owners, right? It's going to make it much more difficult for small business owners to target ads and things like that. So really, ultimately, Apple's an asshole and they're hurting the small business customer. But Facebook's full of shit. Like, they don't need all of that data to support small businesses. Or they don't need to collect it in a sneaky fashion that way either.
And this right? whole, yeah, this, yeah, exactly. And this whole Facebook collecting data thing is very strange, because I think I talked about it before, that the CIA had that program to collect everyone's data called LifeLog, and the day they shut that down is the same day Facebook was made. And they know that Facebook was injected with CIA money at the beginning, and that's all Facebook does, is collect data. So in a conspiratorial sense, Facebook, it's not even just about collecting data to market Jeep or Kia, whatever. It's because on the back end, the government wants that data. They were already trying to come up with a way to collect people's data. Now Facebook and Google does it for them. Yeah. Just like Elon Musk was backed by the UN and has people in Washington, D.C., and he's like just supposed to be this private business philanthropist owner that was successful. It's like, this is on the back end, the government's involved. They have stake in this. So
you really don't like Elon Musk, huh?
It's a perfect example. That's why I keep bringing him up, because it's recent. We did that episode on him. We learned that shit. He's on Rogan's podcast. Steve-O sent me a video cool channel. It's called Barefoot with zeros instead of O's and then number one or something like that. They debunked Elon Musk because he made all these claims about saving, about doing it 100 times cheaper and putting
Doing what 100 times cheaper?
His thing was making rockets cheaper. Reusing rockets, making it cheaper. His numbers. His thing was making rockets cheaper. Reusing rockets, making it cheaper. His numbers were exaggerated and very fraudulent. Also, whenever he was building the tunnels, the things he said about his boring company, he could do it 10 times faster for 100 times cheaper, blah, blah, blah. So easy. He never got the tunnels done. His numbers were wrong. It's a fascinating video, but he's like a huge fraud. After watching that video and seeing how he's lied about his numbers and nothing's ever come to fruition, really, except Tesla, some rockets, and on the back end, probably designing, you know, the satellites is what went up. Dude, he has like, this is such a great point, man. The Boring Company, these rockets, none of it's really fucking working. And that's all people talk about. What is working are the 1,500 or the 5,000 satellites orbiting Earth right now. That no one's talking about. That's really weird, right?
Starlink.
Isn't it that weird? Everyone's talking about rockets and the Boring Company that didn't work and was fraudulent numbers anyway. No one's talking about the 5,000 satellites orbiting, right? Like, why is no one talking about the one that's working, though? That's so weird. Hit me. That's so weird.
But what are those satellites currently? What is the current usage of those satellites?
To bring internet to countries that don't have it?
Turned on yet though, or not yet? Has that feature been deployed to the satellites, or is that not live yet?
I don't think it's a live system yet. As far as, hey, look, we have internet in Papua New Guinea, another part of the Facebook marketplace. I think they're putting it out there. It's working. They're running tests, and there are satellites orbiting now. And I think they're just running tests. I don't think it's a live system yet, but no one's talking about that. They're running tests on rockets too. Everyone's talking about that. It's just really strange. No one's talking about the satellites.
I think because of the satellites, because launching satellites is they've been launching satellites for decades. You know what I mean?
Rockets too, though, right?
Well, but not the same type of rockets. Not reusable rockets. So that's the whole thing with, like, every time they've launched a rocket, it's been a one-time use deal.
Yeah, but this isn't a normal satellite. This isn't a normal satellite. It's not like a satellite.
What's different about it?
It's 5,000 of them, and they're connecting and orbiting in sync to bring in. It's not one that's going to sit and look out at supernovas. It's 5,000 of them orbiting right now.
We have running tests to bring right now, though.
Like, that's what I'm. But
there's a lot of satellites in the sky. Like, we reviewed that last week. There's like hundreds of thousands of satellites up there.
Physical objects the size of a softball, not necessarily satellites. Like 20,000. I think 5,000 are visible at any point. But still, my point is that the 5,000 Starlink satellites is not the same as a NASA satellite that's going to go watch for supernovas. It's a pretty big deal, and it's not taking up the news. But my bigger point is,
I get you.
The government's on the back end. And with this data collection, how could the government be on the back end? Because when it matters, they're going to go through these back doors and they're going to track you, and you're a domestic terrorist. You were at the Capitol riots. We need all the information. We're going to track your phone. We're going to see what you purchased. We're going to lock your apps. You can't cash out with your bank.
You don't identify with the woke culture. You're not a good citizen.
And that's what is going to happen.
We noticed you don't have your pronouns in your social media profiles. So now you got to go to diversity training for forced diversity. And who knows what the fuck this shit's going to be used for.
But I think this is a good step to generally wake up the masses to the idea of data collection. Now it's unethical. Now that you can give them a choice to be like, it's just like a really fundamental.
I'm proud that Apple's doing that.
It's a good thing.
Company. I really am.
Because most people don't think about it. Now everyone's going to think about it when they go in an app store and it has this logo. Oh, what's this? Data collection? All these other companies don't. Like, people are just going to kind of don't think about it.
I just looked at it on my iPhone and I just opened up the app store and just kind of went to a random app. And sure enough, there is an app store. Like, it tells you what data it's collecting on you before you download it.
Badass.
I'm looking at TikTok, right? Data linked to you. Purchases, location, contact, search history, identifiers, diagnostics, financial info, contact info, user content, browsing
medical
history,
info.
Data.
If you're connected to your health app and they want to monitor your health and they're like, oh, you got a fever and these agents show up, or like you can't use your apps, that like you can't use Venmo because it noticed you had a fever and then Google shut you down because that would be so fucked up. Like, God damn it, TikTok, you shut me down because you think I have a fever. I'm jogging in Las Vegas.
Let's hope it didn't ever get to that fucking.
Oh God! In Las Vegas, is pissed off on customer service. Agent yelling at the phone. Agent, I need an agent. Do you need an agent? Then you finally get an agent to unlock your accounts. Oh my God, that would suck so bad. I'm all down for this.
Yeah, way to go, I'm down Apple. For that privacy. But I just thought it was interesting that, you know, you have these two technology giants out there with two diverging. Thoughts on a basic human right like privacy. So,
and then the next, is that everything for that one? Because the next,
yeah, it's everything for that one that I could think of. Yeah.
So take us through the Signal app being banned in China. When did this happen? I feel like this was a while back. Is this recent?
No, this was recent. March 19th, so that was what 3 days ago.
March 16th.
The Chinese government appears to have blocked access to Signal. So do you know what Signal is?
Not exactly, please tell me.
Signal is an end-to-end encrypted messaging app, so it's pretty obvious why the government of China would want to block an end-to-end encrypted messaging app from being able to be used in their country. God knows they might be using it to speak ill of the government in any way, and that would be punishable by God knows what in China. But anyway, so they noticed that users that as of March 16th, it was unavailable. Signal could not be reached for comment whenever this article that I'm basing this on came out. Interestingly, the government has not asked Apple to remove any of the secure messaging apps from the App Store, seemingly to prefer the maintaining this illusion that they are available. So they're making it seem as if, you know, they're not forcing this to go down. Signal was still present on the App Store, but apparently users just couldn't access it, from what I understand. So they were just making it look like, oh yeah, you can still download these apps. But of course, this is where communist government gets you. You know, then they talk about, the article talks about VPN apps. Are you familiar with VPN apps?
Not totally. I've never used one, but I know it gives you a private network.
Right. Basically, what it does is it hides your IP address to where you can basically say you're located in another country and browse the web freely. So you can get around China's intranet by utilizing a VPN service. But the thing in China, VPN practice services are illegal, but VPN companies are allowed to get a license to operate. But everyone knows that when they get a license, the service is compromised. Like China will grant you a license to run a VPN company, but it's an understood thing that them giving you that license is you basically giving them access to keep an eye on the data and the traffic that occurs on your virtual private network. So there's a constant game of whack-a-mole that happens where these unlicensed VPNs appear and then they're banned. And so this keeps happening over and over in China with people trying to get access to the internet outside of China's, you know, locked-in intranet system. Apple was actually required to remove hundreds of these unlicensed VPN services from the App Store back in 2017. So Apple's in this bad position, which is really a no-win position. They're forced to comply with these laws in order to be able to allow to continue to be operating in the country. And as we know that there's a ton of manufacturing that takes place on Apple in China. That's why the company is working to accelerate its and diversify production to other countries so that our dependence on China is not as massive as it is now.
That whole dependency on their network is interesting because they have, like, you think of Apple, or I did. That was one eye-opening thing about the article was, you know, I thought about Apple as a company around the world, but you have to follow that country's rules in their country.
Do business.
As your company. So yeah. They have to be communists to have Apple in China.
To a degree. Basically. That's what, but Apple is starting to, that's what they're doing, is they're looking at other countries. Like, it's a two-way street. China's benefiting from this relationship as well, to have our production in their country. Don't get me wrong. So China wants to probably have Apple there, but China also takes a hardline stance. You do not, I mean, you don't go against the government in China, you know, you just don't. So this weekend, actually, and I want to, we'll maybe talk about this on next week's podcast. Tim Cook is due to speak at the government-sponsored China Development Forum on the theme of China on a new journey toward modernization.
Dude, what if a brawl breaks out? Tim Cook speaking.
Well, it'll be interesting. It may be so. Maybe there'll be, no, there won't be a physical brawl. China's too smart for that. But it's going to be interesting. I want to see if he addresses, like, any of these issues. And then, of course, China's going to be listening for if he's being critical towards the government at all in this speech. So that's what's taking place.
Was there a wedding happening at your house right now?
I don't know what the fuck is going on. Like, Tiffany's watching some shit. Let me ask her.
No. It's fine. It's just the loud. It's just the loud part. But I didn't know if it was.
It's the TV.
It's gone. It's gone now. Sometimes it just gets loud. You can't control that.
Sorry.
I was like, is that my neighbors?
Right next to my living room.
What were you saying about this article?
No, I just said it'll be. I want to revisit this next week.
Tim Cook's speech.
Yeah. After he gives his speech this weekend, and I want to see if he addresses any of these issues with. I mean, China basically really clamping down on any sort of. I mean, it's not like there's the premise of free speech in China, but it's almost like a human rights issue. Or it is a human rights issue at this point. You know,
I listened to. Yeah, and the whole Uyghur thing is weird thing.
Definitely a human rights issue.
This is the weird thing to me about what's happening in China is I listen to Media Roots, and Robbie Martin consistently criticizes articles like this as anti-China propaganda. And I was torn for a while. I was like, does he not think these things are actually happening though? And his whole thing is, it deflects away from America's similar crimes. The Muslims we've killed in the Middle East over the last 30 years. The genocide we've put on other countries and the democracy we've exported. But all people worry about is, oh, look at China. Look what China's doing.
We should look at both.
Yeah, like Biden just said that Putin was a killer and people are praising him. Biden was the vice president to Obama who outdid Bush's innocent civilian deaths in the Middle East. And people only pay attention to the anti-Russia, anti-China propaganda. And that's how it works, is because it defers away from America's guilt. We're just as bad as this. That's the whole weird thing. It's like, yeah, this is terrible, but we are just as bad. And we might not, we ban people from online too. You've got legit people that are locked out of their Patreons who, you know, politicians like Tulsi, who get kicked out of Google searches. It's not as extreme as China where they'll come arrest you, or maybe we're not. But we're going down that path, and we are guilty of the other 80% of stuff as far as, you know, genocides and anti-Muslim hate. Like, our government is super guilty. So it's always weird. I think that's what Robbie was getting at. So open my eyes, because when I see like this, which this is true, I also think like this is also propaganda, because people think China's the bad guy and they don't even think about our president now and his war crimes.
Well, I think just the general act of banning an app that allows you to speak privately with other humans is a bad thing for any government to do.
But America tried to, I'm not trying to argue with you, I'm just saying, drawing like parallels, because America did the same thing with TikTok. They didn't ban it, but they tried to. Like, America's trying to do the same stuff. They're just not there yet. Like, like the older brother's a piece of shit and so is the younger brother. It's just the younger brother's not there yet to cause as much damage. That's what America's doing with all the communistic behavior. It's like we're getting there and people are allowing it by not being aware because they're praising Biden for speaking against Putin because Putin's a bad guy. And it's like people just forget about America's. They don't think we've been bombing innocent people in the Middle East for 30 years over heroin and oil. And they still don't talk about like Bush lying about weapons of mass destruction. Like it's crazy, you know, like the Uyghur, everyone's focused on the Uyghurs right now. Everyone's focused on the Uyghurs and that's fine. But if you now that people are going to wake up to the Uyghurs, let's wake up to what we've done and take care of our wrongs first before we act like it's China and Russia. I think that's a really interesting take that I learned from Robbie.
For sure.
Because yeah, it's totally true.
It is true. I do think, but I think it's all bad though. Like, I think what's happening to the Uyghurs is horrible.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Horrific, it is. You know, and something should be done about that. And then whatever shady shit the U.S. is up to in another country that's causing any form of human suffering in the name of capitalism or whatever the fuck it might be should also stop as well.
Yeah. Putin said it takes one to know one. When Biden called him a killer, I said, oh.
He said that?
I'm yeah.
Sure, actually.
Yeah. Major burn.
That is pretty gangster that he said that.
Major burn. Damn, Putin. Yeah. By the way, his last name is Putin. You know what I'm saying?
He would fucking kill Biden in a fight, a fist fight, if it came down to the fight of the world leaders.
Yeah, I think if all the world leaders fought, Putin and probably the king of Thailand would be the two. It would be like a wrestler versus Muay Thai.
Is the king of Thailand a Thai fighter?
No, I'm just going off of race and ethnicity. I would imagine Putin would have a little Krav Maga, a little wrestling.
Well, we know that Putin's like martial arts trained. That's why I think if you threw an octagon down and said, all right, for all the marbles, motherfuckers, the leader of the world, you got to survive the tournament of the octagon. Putin's taking that bitch home.
Dude, I seriously believe that we will one day see one of these celebrity boxing matches, like on a Jake Paul undercard, a couple of world leaders boxing, like a Donald Trump and a Putin. I think Putin's a little more logical, but I think America's going down that road where we might actually get, you know, like a Tom Hanks and a Donald Trump on the co-main event.
How much would you pay for that? How much would you pay for that pay-per-view?
Full price. I'd take off of work.
$150. I'd pay $200 for that shit.
Dude, I would watch Tom Hanks and Donald Trump in a boxing match.
Fuck yes. Shit.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Opening up the main card to Mike Tyson and Mike Tyson and I want to see Nate Diaz cross over and box up. What do you think about Ben Askren and Logan Paul coming up?
I think it's cool. I hope Ben Askren doesn't embarrass the sport. But no, I'm saying embarrass the sport. But Ben Askren's never been known to be a fucking striker, you know?
Right. I think he's going to win, though. I think he's
I think so. I just think that the years of combat sports experience should help him in the situation. It's not like he hasn't. I mean, he's been in way more brawls and sparring sessions than Logan Paul has.
Yeah, so, he's got an Olympic level mentality, conditioning, training, skill. Like he can train at an Olympic level. He's been in there with bad guys and won all of them. And the only thing Jake Paul is known
for. There's no wrestling in this. You know,
there's not, but there's conditioning, there's clinch, there's weighing on the guy, there's a high pace, there's Jake Paul blowing his wad, throwing overhand rights with no good footwork. There's Ben Askren. He was an Olympic wrestler. So when he goes into a training camp to learn boxing, he's doing it at that level. Because Jake Paul's done it the same amount of time, a couple of years, he's been boxing. Like you get those two individuals to train a camp for a boxing match. I got Ben Askren all day.
Yeah.
Me but anyway.
Too. I do too. But I mean, but anything can happen in fighting.
Yeah.
You can catch Ben Askren with a crazy ass shot and just take him out.
See, this is the good thing, though, because if he does do that to Ben, Jake's an idiot. He's going to bite off more than he can chew eventually. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And
there's people waiting. Like, Nate Diaz is waiting. Nate Diaz has already told Logan Paul on Twitter, like, tell your brother to shut the fuck up because he's going to run into someone in the street and get his ass beat.
I think Nate Diaz would box the fuck out of him.
Yeah, so if he wins, he's eventually going to run into a guy like that, because you've got Michael Bisping also, whose manager was in touch with Jake Paul's, but Ben Askren got the contract instead, so I think it could have been Michael Bisping as well. So eventually Jake Paul is going to bite off more than he can chew.
Doesn't and I'm looking Bisping forward to Bisping have vision problems?
He's got one eye, but he's a boxer. He's a kickboxer. He's a skilled. He'll go in there right now and beat Jake Paul. Dude, he beat Anderson Silva with one eye. He knocked out Luke Rockhold for the championship with one eye. He beat Dan Henderson in the rematch with one eye.
How old is he now?
I don't know.
It's getting up there. Still, he would fuck Jake, Logan Paul up.
Yeah.
And Jake Paul. Both of them. But no, Ben better win this fucking fight then.
Yeah. Yeah, so the Signal app, yeah, we'll come back next week and talk about Tim Cook's speech.
I thought that one was interesting just because of all the different dynamics of it, and with Tim, like, we'll be able to revisit this. So
yeah, this tech
that's
war.
Why I want to talk about that one.
This tech war is fascinating. It's an interesting time to be alive.
I think that this was, if you're a conspiracy theorist, you should be paying attention to the tech war right now. These are the most powerful companies and powerful countries in the planet.
Everybody should be a conspiracy theorist.
Having ideological, basically, having ideological warfare right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see. What's next?
Dead Sea Scrolls. Israeli archaeologicalists.
Archaeologist.
Yeah, there you go. On Tuesday, announced the discovery of dozens of new Dead Sea Scroll fragments bearing a biblical text found in a desert cave and believed hidden during a Jewish revolt against Rome nearly 1900 years ago. So that was back when Rome was cracking down on paganism, i.e. the original Egyptian religious practices that came before the world turned into this Roman Catholic version of the Bible, right?
Yep.
So the Jews were fighting. So the Jews hold on to a part of that original practice. And they believe the Jews hid these scrolls during those revolts, which is fascinating. Because Herodotus outlawed Christianity, paganism officially, in like 332. And this was in like 150 AD. So it was in that same time frame, you know. Those people's grandkids, great-grandkids, lived through Herodotus, the people that hid these texts.
It is fascinating, man.
It is. I love when they... It makes me wonder, like, what old stuff have they not found? We have not found everything.
No, and apparently...
Not even close.
One of the interesting parts of this article is that, you know, they've been racing against plunderers. So these fucking people that go and scout these like caves in these Middle Eastern areas and find these artifacts and sell them on the dark web, they had to create this whole what did they call it? Let me see. Antiquities Theft Prevention Unit. That they had to start. They started back in 2017. And now, since they started that, there have been virtually no antiquities plundering in the Judean desert. So they think the operation is a success. And for the first time in 70 years, they were able to preempt the plunderers. And that they're talking about their ability to have been able to find this text in this cave. So pretty fascinating stuff, man.
Yeah, the plunderers, fuck those guys. But
yeah.
I also wonder about government conspiracy, because they're always destroying temples and monuments. And after 9/11, when we went into Iraq, from what I understand, we raided the National Iraqi History Museum or something and took some artifacts.
Why would we do that?
Exactly. Like, why would governments be involved, be wanting to control artifacts? So I just wonder, you know, how much is it people plundering and selling on the black market, and how much is it undercover agents doing it and taking this stuff because they know we can't let these things get out. We have this global structure, religious structure embedded the last 2,000 years. We got to make sure we keep that intact by just, you know, while we're at war in Iraq, let's bomb that whole valley and take out the temples. Let's take out the Temple of Noah. Let's take out blah, blah, blah. Like, I remember there's video of the Temple of Noah being blown up in the Middle East. I remember seeing that, like, what the fuck? And it's just this hidden camera. And then, boom, this temple just explodes to rubbish in the middle of this Middle Eastern city. It's like, what the fuck would you destroy?
It was like ISIS. About controlling history?
I think so. I don't know specifically how, but it's happening. Like, these things do get destroyed. In China, these statues that represent an ancient figure, the government wants to erase that. And there's this campaign of them being destroyed.
Seems like the Chinese government wants to do something, they're just going to get it done, though.
Yeah, so I just think about this, and it's like, because that sounds very 9/11-ish. Hey, there's not been any more terror attacks now that we've been at war in the Middle East for 30 years. It's like, hey, no one's been plundering ever since we started this.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Maybe I'm wrong, because, you know, I don't know how, but that is what I'm thinking, you know, because I think there's government involvement in ancient stuff. Let's get on with this article.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
The fragments of parchment bear lines of Greek text from the books of Zechariah and Nahum. I've never heard of Nahum. My Bible never had Nahum. What the fuck is this ancient shit that was left out? What did Nahum have to say?
You know, the 12 minor prophets, or the minor prophets, which is the book of the Hebrew Bible. And the 12 minor prophets were Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi.
They do have it. You're right. Nahum, Habakkuk, Zechariah, Alibi, Zechariah, Malachi. We used to say it in class. Fuck yeah. Okay. Okay. I have heard of it. Nahum. Interesting.
Carry on, my friend.
They are the first new scrolls found in archaeological excavations in the desert south of Jerusalem in 60 years. There was a collection found in the desert caves in the West Bank near Qumran in the 40s and 50s, dated from the 3rd century to the 1st century AD. Those were the earliest known copies that Jewish sect is little understood that it represents. The beliefs, a document's outlining the beliefs of a little understood Jewish sect. Look at that little fragment. Man, I wish they could find all this.
You're not showing nothing, so let's show this. I'm going to show my screen while you read. There you go.
Man, they must have been recording something, man. It wasn't just dumb cavemen writing, you know, stupid poetry. They must have been recording important shit. Like, who was this god? What was life really like that lineages of people just maintained these? That's a weird aspect of human nature, to create myth and maintain it, unless it comes from something true and it was impactful. It's so crazy.
It is. It is a weird thing, part of human nature where we, I don't know, it's part of every culture, everything since we've ever, all human cultures have some form of this kind of fairy tale that we all tell of the higher power, son of God, sacrifice, the prophet, the prophetic figure.
Or is it human nature?
Yeah.
Are they recording this because it does come from a truth? There was a God. Something did happen.
Yeah.
Interesting. Man, I wish I could time travel.
Me too.
Where would you go if you could time travel to any era?
The Illuminati Telegraph.
I think the Egyptian era would probably be one of the most interesting. It's like when they're building the pyramids.
When they're building it? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. What about you?
I would probably have to go back to that too, man. It seems like everything is riding and dying on how they build the pyramids. What's happened here?
Yeah, they just have such an interesting culture, and obviously it was one of the earliest advanced societies. Yeah, I'd say the building of the pyramids. Maybe go back to like the earliest days of humanity, but that would be hard to pinpoint when that is, because we don't even really know based on our current evidence.
But I'd like to look
at what early human tribes lived like.
There's a picture in here, we're going to get to it, of a really old basket weaving that goes back way before the pyramids or back to the Ice Age. But before we get there,
there's also silver coins that they got from the Jewish uprising against Rome between 132 and 136 AD.
They believe it was the Bar Kokhba revolt. How do they know that? Bar Kokhba.
They're probably referencing from the time that the artifacts were found.
Yeah.
The revolt happened.
Coins struck by rebels and arrowheads found in other caves also hail from that period. We found the textual difference that has no parallel with any other manuscript, either in Hebrew or in Greek. Ah, wow. No parallel, like a third unique culture.
One of the things that I liked about this article, it just kind of makes you think, is like was this quote right here. When we think about the biblical text, we think about something very static. It wasn't static. There are slight differences, and some of those differences are important, said Joe Uzio, head of the Antiquities Authority's Dead Sea Scrolls Unit. Every little bit of information we can add, we can understand a little bit better how the biblical text came into its traditional Hebrew form. So I thought it was really interesting that there were slight variations in the Greek rendering of the Hebrew original text compared to the Septuagint. How do you say that? Septuagint, a translation of the Hebrew Bible to Greek made in Egypt in the 3rd and 2nd centuries.
Mm.
So, it's just interesting, like, the Bible is not static. It wasn't static. There are differences that they found in all of these earliest versions and iterations of it. So we're still working to understand what the meanings of these ancient texts are. So that was just kind of an interesting statement.
The pyramid texts are fascinating too. There's this small pyramid near the Giza pyramids. And it was hard for this researcher, I forget the names, but he couldn't get access to go inside because word was that the walls were covered in texts. And like the head of Egyptian antiquity wouldn't let. He was like, there's nothing in there, there's nothing in there, there's nothing in there. And finally the guy got approval to go in, and he found perfectly preserved Egyptian hieroglyphs lining the whole wall inside of this pyramid. And there was no body, there was no tomb. It was just this... And so it's the pyramid text, and they've deciphered it and stuff, and it's this famous thing. But it's like, how much more is in these places? Shit. How much more is in these places that they can't get to because they can't get official approval because the person in charge doesn't fucking care or believe in it? It's literally that simple sometimes. It's just some corrupt, lazy fuck who is like, nah, there's nothing there, and they can't get funding. There's so much about history that we don't know. And you think, oh, because we just haven't discovered it all, or we don't have technology. It's like we're also just stopped by corrupted people in power.
Yeah.
And why? Why can we have all this money?
Something that's going to advance the entire civilization forward.
Like, yeah,
if we understand our past, it's going to help us advance everything forward. So this should be a priority for all humans.
Yeah, just so
there should be no red tape.
Yeah, it's just a weird thing to silence, I guess. It's a weird thing to, I don't know what the word is, but that's always strange.
Stifle. Yeah, but, the
Stifle, there you go. So they also found a 6,000-year-old mummified skeleton in all these caves they swept of a child. They found an immense, complete woven basket from the Neolithic period, about 10,500 years old. Look at that thing.
Share your screen.
It's a beautiful basket. 10,500 years ago, they were making this thing. Can you believe this? I mean, can you see it?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you come up with how do you invent weaving if you're just some dumb caveman?
Pretty wild shit, bro.
Do you know how to weave? You know how to go out and get something?
No, I couldn't make that. I couldn't make the fiber and the... Yeah. I could figure out the weaving technique.
10,500 years old, that thing's still around. You can't get a bag from Bed Bath & Beyond and have it last more than a year.
No.
Everything's made in damn China now. No. But I want one of these bags. I want one. That's a good laundry bag, man. That thing will last you forever. Probably won't ever smell bad either. Wicks moisture perfectly away. It's a badass bag.
Best technology ever made 10,500 years ago for baskets. It's lasted that long, right?
Crazy. That's basically it for this. But I love that they're finding new stuff. I want to know what's under the Amazonian floor. We need more LiDAR.
The new iPhones have LiDAR on them. We could just go to the Amazon ourselves and try and map it with the technology on the iPhones.
New iPhones have LiDAR?
Yeah.
What?
iPhone 12 Pros, 12 Pro Maxes has LiDAR.
Why the fuck do you need LiDAR? I mean, what?
For augmented reality experiences. So like right now, if you try to use an augmented reality app with your phone has to use your camera to scan the environment and try to make predictions about how large objects on the camera are. That's why you have to like open your phone up and like move it around the room. With LiDAR, it uses the LiDAR technology to instantly map the room so that when you open up an app like an AR game or anything like that, it's able to instantly do it. And it's able to do it accurately without having to use your camera to do so. It also is used for your camera. So whenever you're going to take a picture, it uses the LiDAR sensor to determine the amount of light between you and the subject to make those computational adjustments for it to focus faster. So it does have some uses. And I'm sure there are some, industry apps that probably take advantage of it as well. But from a consumer standpoint, which is what I'm trained, I guess, to talk on, that's how the LiDAR is used in the new iPhone. Anyway, go ahead. We could get the new iPhones and walk the Amazon floor and try and figure it out ourselves.
Yeah, man, I'm totally down. Let me go pee.
All right. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Diet Mountain Dew and honey roasted cashews.
There you go. It's healthy as fuck.
I'm gonna edit that out.
Okay.
Yeah, edit that little one. Sorry, I'm feeling a little drained. So I love this one. Scientists unlock the secrets of the ancient anti-cathera mechanism. I think we all kind of know what this is. Remember, this made some waves.
Yeah, the anti-cathera mechanism.
I'm gonna take the ads off.
First analog computer in the world. That's what I knew it as.
Yeah, that was a theory, right?
I never knew like what it looked like per se, so it was cool to see it in the article.
For people that haven't seen it, it's basically this gearbox, this complex system of gears that they found by chance in the early 1900s diving for sponges off the coast of Antikythera, a Greek island in the Aegean Sea. They discovered a Roman-era shipwreck that contained this artifact, and they found out what it was. It is like a map of the cosmos, basically. The phases of the moon, the lunar calendar, Venus, Mercury, Jupiter, and Saturn. Mercury, Venus, Jupiter, Saturn, and a fifth planet. And it would move and map the stars. It was they had to digitally recreate it, and it was really complicated to digitally recreate a system that could keep the phases of the planets. So with today's technology and today's understanding, it was really fucking hard to design a system. Once they found out, because the front was destroyed from years of erosion, I think they got inside carefully and they started breaking it down. There was also text that they were able to
see. That's what spurred this, is they had this new, this new technique they were able to use to see this text inside of it. They used high-resolution X-ray tomography on the artifact, and it revealed scores of never descriptions that basically amounted to a user's guide to the mechanism. So they kind of understood what the mechanism... I'm sorry, and I'll let you continue, bro. But I just wanted to point that out. Basically,
no, you're good. Carry on.
No, so... I was just going to state, just in addition to what you were saying, is they understood what it was used for and kind of the purpose of it, but they didn't fully understand how it was made and all the way how it worked. And I believe with the finding of basically this user guide, that's how they were able to account for all of the missing pieces of the puzzle for how this thing worked. And here in a moment, after we finish kind of discussing it, I would like to just show a little portion of the video right here that gives a breakdown of like the completed mechanism of it. At the very end, about the 28-minute mark, there's a point where it like shows like the breakdown of it coming together. So I'd like to show that too.
I have the video anyway, pulled up. I'm going to it.
There you go. Right there. Super common. I mean, if you think about... the Greeks being able to do this all the way back then. I mean, the engineering required to do this.
Yeah. I mean, so we're showing the video.
Like, yeah. If you're not listeners, part of Patreon, sorry.
We're showing the video for the listeners. The links to these websites are in the podcast, the notes. If you go to the notes on the episode, they should be there. If you click on, I'll have it, probably, the Vimeo link or something. It's a 30-minute documentary on this thing, and it's pretty badass.
I just wanted to at least show this. But look at the gears.
So many gears and plates, and that's the other thing is that they're trying.
So yeah, that's the part at the end of the article that we're getting to here. So now that we understand, like, we're able to use this technology to understand how it works, how to put it together digitally. We could probably build it with today's technology, but I'll let you go ahead and kind of spoil the surprise there. Go ahead and give away the end of the article.
They're trying to, I guess, justify is the right word, that the Greeks built this. They know this thing existed, that was discovered in a Roman era shipwreck. They just don't know how to explain that the Greeks built it, because the Greeks weren't known to have this level of sophistication yet. Science is told that it came from the Greeks. We evolved into this sophistication from what the Greeks started. So the idea that the Greeks made this, it doesn't match, and it's kind of upending the story of ancient civilization.
And so what they're doing is their next project is they're going to try to recreate this thing now that they know how it's built, but using only technology that they think Greeks had access to at the time.
Look at that. It was gems that were... Yeah, this is beautiful. The 12 zodiacs are represented on this clock. The whole thing is just spinning and showing the...
Now, it is not cosmically accurate because it is based on the Earth being at the center of the solar system or the universe, one of the two.
The universe, I believe, or the solar system. But, dude, remember we talked about that documentary called The Principle, where they took the cosmic microwave background of a 360-degree sphere around the Earth to see what it looked like, and it showed that we were at the center. And that's modern science. That's Michio Kaku was on this documentary pushing this idea. You know what I'm saying? Like, these were big names, a big documentary, and the conclusion to that study by mapping the cosmic microwave background was it appears we're at the center of the solar system.
Or the universe.
The universe. We're at the center.
Which
we're
one?
not we're not at the center of our solar system. The sun is. We're going around the sun. But the Earth is at the center of the whole thing, the whole universe, according to the cosmic microwave background. That's a new scientific study. So the idea of...
Yeah, this, I do remember talking about that.
Yeah, and I still have that documentary. We should do an episode on it.
We should.
But this idea, the idea that we weren't at the center. You know, I question that. Maybe we are at the center, and they did know. But it's not the it's not the solar system, like Galileo said. It's not like the sun's at the center of the solar system. But is the Earth at the center of the universe?
Yeah, it's a super interesting article, man, because, like, you know, like, they're talking about in the article, so they're going to try and recreate it, and they have to just try and do it with the technology Greece had, and if they can't do it, well, they're kind of joking in the article, unless it's from outer space, right? It was just kind of a joke they threw in the end of the article, but maybe they are. But then I was thinking, like, but how could it be, if, like, that can't be true, because the Greeks got it wrong in this cosmological model that they created. It's beautiful machinery, works really well based on their, and they had to come up with all kind of complex mathematics and ways to describe the Earth being at the center of the solar system, and they were able to do that and account for that in this machinery. But it was a very complex model to account for that. And I was thinking, like, so if this came from an outside source that was advanced enough to travel the universe, travel through the solar system to get to us, they couldn't be wrong about Earth being at the center of the universe. But then what you just said, when you're talking about the microwave.
Cosmic microwave background, the CMB.
The CMB. Maybe the Greeks were right. Who knows?
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm not smart enough to, like, debate this shit with anybody. I'm just, it's fun to proliferate and think about the what ifs.
I can't wait for NASA to get exposed and for everyone to learn that the Earth is flat. I'm not saying I think the Earth is flat, but I hope that happens, where, you know, all the politicians and war criminals get tried and sent to prison. We find out aliens built the pyramids and the Earth was actually flat, and just people,
all the conspiracies at once just come to a culmination. Boom.
And everywhere you go, people are selling anti-cathera mechanisms. It's like the new thing. Like, what the fuck?
At the gas station on the corner, they're selling their version of the anti-cathera mechanisms.
Yeah, this isn't an anti-cathera mechanism because there's no lunar cycle and it doesn't have Venus. This is bullshit.
It'd be funny if that was the fucking case.
It says here, device's gears display cumulatively. Oh shit, I messed that up. Device's gears and displays cumulatively demonstrated the motions of the planets and the sun, the phases of the lunar calendar, the position of the zodiac constellations, and even the timing of athletic events such as the ancient Olympic Games. And like you said, reflects the ancient idea of the cosmos with Earth at the center of the cosmos, not the solar system. So this reflects the Earth at the center of the cosmos, which is what that study found, that we were at the center of this cosmic microwave background. That is fucking wild.
Huh.
That is wild, man. Like another piece of modern science further confirming ancient stuff that has been discarded.
Maybe this shit did come from aliens.
Man. Wow.
It's weird to think about.
And he refers to it as an ancient Greek astronomical compendium of staggering ambition, and a beautiful conception translated by superb engineering into a device of genius.
It's unique, and there's nothing else that remotely approaches it for centuries or maybe a millennia afterwards.
It's just so out of this world, is what he says. Man, these people are really, like, the people that studied this thing. Adam Wojcik from the UCL, Tony Freeth, who led the study of the mechanical engineer at UCL.
He's the guy who directed that documentary that you just watched.
It's a 30-minute documentary. Again, check the show notes. It looks pretty badass. It's linked right there. It's It exists, and all the scholarship points to the fact that it is ancient Greek, added Wojcik. There's no question about it. We just have to accept that there's so much about what they could do that we just don't know, and we can't fathom. The mechanism is a window on that. So either the Greeks had ancient technology that they weren't sharing with the public, and they didn't write into history for us to learn that today, and they kept that on the back end, or we haven't discovered everything there is to know about Greek and Greece and stuff. But something's going on with...
I think that I subscribe to the Graham Hancock idea that there are these way older ancient civilizations that were way more advanced than we knew, and that this is passed down knowledge from those ancient civilizations. Maybe that's what's going on.
We should do a deep dive on the Dogon next. That should be the next deep dive, because they knew some stuff about Sirius, and it's just proof that these ancient cultures knew stuff. But that's another episode. Either that, or I have some ideas. We'll talk about the next deep dive. We need to figure that out.
Okay.
I still need to send you those goddamn tabs. I'm going to do that on air before the show's over. So, anti-catharic mechanism. This is, I love it. This is what I live for. Stuff like this. That basically covers it.
Fuck yeah. Anti-catharic mechanism. Excited to see what they find when they're trying to make this with Greek technology.
We got a lot of cool song names out of these recent podcasts. We got Polybius. Anti-Cathera. We got Sense Delete.
Sense Delete.
Got some cool names.
We do.
So let's finish it off with...
Uh-oh. An ad. Dylan and his ads. All right. All right. So you sent me this one as soon as the podcast was over last week. About Iran banning the import of both the UK and the US COVID-19 vaccine, saying that they are completely untrustworthy.
Yeah. 20 countries, I believe, so far have banned it.
20 countries have?
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's what I'm reading. I don't know if it's in this article, but that's what I'm seeing, is it's now up to 20. It's been like, it was like 11 a couple of weeks ago, and it's just been climbing.
And what's their reason for banning it? Now, I can see Iran banning. Iran hates us. We have a shit relationship with Iran.
That was one of my skepticisms about this was, okay, they're banning it because it's a bad vaccine, or they're banning it because we have sanctions on them and we're at war. They don't want our business. They don't want Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca coming. He says it here. Foreign companies wanted to give us vaccines so they would be tested on the Iranian people, but the health ministry prevented it, Rouhani said in televised remarks, without naming the companies or giving further details. Our people will not be a testing device for vaccine manufacturing companies, he added. We shall purchase safe foreign vaccines. And I think that's fair, because wouldn't these countries be getting the vaccine first? We still don't really have it here totally. I mean, people are getting it now.
I think we're people supposed to have it all by like May.
But wouldn't you roll it out in the other countries first so that you could test and roll out at the same time? So it's like these countries were getting it offered first. So maybe they are trying to test
it. Maybe you're right.
But the propaganda is... Yeah, the propaganda is such that we need to let these third world countries have it because their economies are bad. It's like, hold up, we're destroying their economy from exporting democracy and dropping bombs. Now we're trying to profit.
So hold on. To that point, so I'm reading the text underneath that picture right there. He delivered this speech on January 8th.
2021? Yeah, so they were trying to give him the vaccine at January 8th of this year, and it wasn't until just now, this month, we're starting to kind of get it in America.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe we are trying to just test it on these people. And the propaganda here is like, oh, well, the poor people need it when you got to help people. It's like, dude, we're destroying their economy from sanctions and bombs and testing the virus on their people. That's crazy. So I think there's a lot going on. A lot going on with this virus and this vaccine as far as geopolitics.
And Twitter took the tweets down from him.
Yeah, they did. Misinformation, right? Who fact checks the fact checkers? I love that question, but it's very true. Who fact checks the fact checkers?
I like how he says at the end here. He claimed in a televised address on Friday that if the Americans were able to produce a trustworthy vaccine, the coronavirus catastrophe wouldn't have happened in their country. Well, that's a little short-sighted, but all right, I guess I get it.
I think if America could have provided universal basic income like every other country and healthcare like every other country, we could have prevented a lot of shit. But that's another topic. Right. That's another topic. How can you make a vaccine for a virus that's not out yet? You know, you're just going to make that shit right away.
You're right. I'm trying to see which countries banned the U.S. vaccine. Hold on, I got to search on DuckDuckGo.
Okay. Iran has reported more than 1.2 million cases of the novel virus and have over 56,000 deaths. It has accused arch enemy, the U.S., of hampering its access to vaccines through tough sanctions. While food and medicine are technically exempt from the measures, international banks tend to reject transactions involving Iran. Interesting.
Oh, shit. Hold on a second.
What?
I just searched on DuckDuckGo, and this is the headline. I haven't read this yet, but it says, Italy, France, Germany join countries suspending AstraZeneca coronavirus vaccine.
Yeah.
Is that one of the ones that we use here in the United States?
Yeah, that's the one. AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson, that whole thing. That's that operation.
Three more
countries
announced on Monday that they were joining the growing list of those suspending the use of AstraZeneca's coronavirus vaccine over concerns of serious side effects. Italy, France, and Germany are all banning the use of the vaccine developed with Oxford University because of reports of people developing serious blood clots after receiving the shot. What the fuck?
Yeah.
German Health Minister Jens Spahn said in a press conference that Germany is temporarily suspending the use of the vaccine, calling it a professional decision and not a political one. In order to maintain confidence in the vaccine, we have to give our experts in Germany and the European Union the time to examine the latest incidents. You have to clarify, blah, 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 blah. Let me see how many cases there have. It just says there have been reports of severe cases of blood clots and brain hemorrhages. Oh, shit. Wow. Okay. That's a little creepy.
Yeah, man.
All right.
Fuck that.
These are articles on mainstream US sites now too. So it's, you know, it's pretty serious.
Yeah. Yeah, that stuff's, yeah.
Holy shit. And why did I not see this? All right, let me do a Google search and see if I get the same results.
Yeah, see what you get.
Came up now. Yeah, so far Norway, Iceland, Bulgaria, Estonia, Latvia, Denmark, Austria, Ireland, Netherlands, Lithuania, Luxembourg, Congo, of course, Germany and France, Italy, they've all banned AstraZeneca's dose. What the fuck? All right. Well, I learned something new tonight. Do not get the AstraZeneca vaccine when I am inevitably forced to get that motherfucker.
I'm probably going to have to get it too if I want to travel to Thailand.
Don't get the AstraZeneca one, bro. You're going to get a brain hemorrhage or a blood clot and die.
Well, how do you know which one to get?
They tell you get whichever one's available in your area. That's literally the advice. They don't care. That's literally the advice. Americans should get just whichever vaccine is available to them. So even if they only have like the 85% Johnson & Johnson available, they're like, nope, fuck it. You should get that one. And you should also get it even if you had COVID, which I don't understand that, but... Okay.
Weird. So this is strange how the international banks are involved. While food and medicine are technically exempt from the measures, the sanctions, international banks tend to reject transactions involving Iran. So Rouhani said last month that Washington demanded Tehran pay for the drugs through U.S. banks. So we're not even... Okay, let me finish. Adding that he had feared the United States would seize the money. The pandemic came on top of months of escalating tensions between Tehran and Washington after President Donald Trump unilaterally withdrew from a 2015 treaty on Iran's nuclear program, reimposed suffocating sanctions. Interesting. I wonder if there's any causation with all this correlation of political stuff happening globally and then the virus and then all of these sanctions and the war. It's like, man, if we're trying to help the world, just give them the damn vaccines. Don't make them pay through your bank.
Yeah, no shit. Why? Whatever. Why would we? Maybe I just don't understand the dynamics of it, but why would we force them to pay for the drugs through our banks?
I don't know. Maybe if they paid through one of their banks and then got the vaccines and then that bank gave it back to Tehran because U.S. wasn't in charge of the money. Probably something like that.
Fair enough. But,
like, give the money to my guys.
Same reason they're saying they didn't want to pay through the U.S. banks. They would seize the money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked up, man. I mean, part of this is maybe political. Part of it's maybe smart on their part. But, you know, the vaccine they're having problems with is not, so it's not the Pfizer vaccine, the BioNTech and Pfizer vaccine. It's the AstraZeneca one.
I don't even like the name AstraZeneca. It just feels weird.
Yeah. And then, so they were planning to send 150,000 doses of the vaccine to Iran, but had been canceled following the statements. And that was the Iranian Red Cross or the Iranian Red Crescent. They had Iranian scientists that were based in the U.S. that were planning to send those doses. So that's kind of dumb. I mean, you have Iranian scientists that are trying to send them this help to their country, and they had to cancel it because of their supreme leader's comments. So I don't think Iran's totally the good guy in this situation, but neither is the U.S., as in all of these situations.
I don't know what to make of, you know, I mean, what do you do other than read articles and make an opinion? What can you really do about all these weird problems in the world?
You can work really hard to get elected to public office and try and go make a difference in the system, which rarely works. Or I don't know, man. You could just kind of keep yourself informed and keep yourself prepared.
Yeah.
And vote the best that you can for politicians that you think are not tainted by the system.
Are there any?
I don't know. Probably not. Maybe. I'm sure there are. But not at the highest levels of the government, unfortunately. I think once you get to a certain point, you get corrupted.
Yeah, when you fly on
that senator level.
I mean, even the squad, even AOC and them are bought out and corrupted at this point.
When you get to the House of Representative level or the senator level, you probably get bought out, lobbyists at that point.
Man, Jimmy Dore crushed the squad on his recent episode. You should check out his show. It's great.
All right, I'm going to go check it out.
It's funny, but it's also really...
Where do I check it out at?
Podcast, the Jimmy Dore Show. It's on YouTube as well, but I listen to the podcast.
I'm going to check that out after we get off of this. I have to go take a ride down the road here in a second.
Okay. I'm actually getting ready to upload the DOS tabs.
All right. Do them via iCloud.
I'm going to screen share it so you can...
My Dropbox is fucked up.
Yeah, I'm doing it on iCloud. Do you see that?
Yep.
Okay, so... DOS tabs.
All right, click the... It's empty.
Empty. I believe I have them all on my desktop.
It's okay. So you got this folder there. So just share the folder with me. Click the plus button. Nope. To the left. Oh, to the right. Sorry. The little person on it with the plus button. There you go.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see it. Let me upload the what the
you're
fuck?
So you're inside the folder already. Don't make a new folder.
I know.
There you go.
I hit the wrong button. So my file window is, I'm browsing and I'm finding the tabs. Okay, so all the old songs. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 old songs. Our old set list.
There they are. I see them. Boom.
So this is going to be called old. They're going to go in there. It's going to be new. The new ones are going to go there. The new ones are tight, man. Sean had a lot of stuff, but there was repeat parts. Like a part that was in, I trembled at his voice. So I had to delete it. So a lot of the new songs he had, I actually had to delete like half of it and combine it to another song where I deleted half of it. How do I move it? What the fuck?
There it went.
It moved?
Apparently. Yeah.
So I did some arranging and editing as well, and I made some rhythms longer and made one diminished. And then, you know, I did some stuff as well. So after I conglomerated everything and did arranging, we have a total of 8 new songs. I'm in my file. 8 new songs. That does not include Precipice, Vulture Stone, B Modes, and another rhythm and another rhythm that are just sitting there. So we have enough to get together 12 to 13 with a lot of work and writing. Okay, so DOS, tabs, new. But there's some pretty badass songs in here. But yeah, I did a lot of work other than just tabbing these out. I actually had to combine them and delete and arrange it to where the two-part songs would flow together to make one song. Like Chili Tiger had Musket or Wonder Bread in there. It was like something Sean was working on before he took that part and made Wonder Bread. So like half of Chili Tiger and then half of a work in progress that had repeat parts like became a work in progress. And then, you know, something like that. Shartworthy's. These are all Sweetest Intro Ever is a badass rhythm. These are all full songs. Vulture Stone.
I remember some of these.
Precipice is not in here because I'm going to retab that.
No, bit. I remember something like Such Horror to Behold. I remember you listening to some of these at some point.
Yeah, probably in Sean's room showing us some new stuff. That's all I ever hold. Heard so okay. Right, so
share this with me. So tap to click the little circle person with the plus button in the menu bar. There you go.
Highlight my folder. Correct.
Yep. Click that. Share with my phone number. Great. Everyone's gonna see my fucking number on this. You're gonna have to definitely take this part out.
No one's gonna see your number.
You're just typing it on the screen.
I guess I could not screen share too. Hey, it doesn't do. What's your email?
Try my email.
Oh, there we go.
There you go.
So I send you this link?
Yep.
Okay, I got to text that link to you?
Yeah, text the link to me.
Oh, well, what's the fucking point of doing the share thing if I still have to share it?
I don't know what happened.
Okay. Well, I got the link copied.
Text it.
I'm loading up my...
If anyone's still hanging in at this point, God bless you.
I imagine... The only people still listening are probably jogging, and they're like, oh, I can't change it, so I'll just keep listening.
I've had that happen to me on podcasts when I get to the end of it, and I'm like, I'm in the middle of a fucking long run. I'm like, I've got a good pace going. I don't want to fuck this up. I'll just keep listening.
But I think there are some regular listeners out there. Thank y'all. Love y'all. Hit us up. We're going to keep doing this. Did you get the link, Jesse?
Did get it.
Cool. Check out our music.
Opened it.
Golgothan TV on Twitch. Basically every night. Alfred and the Ted-nators.
5 nights a week. Yep, Alfred and the Ted-nators.
You can see Jesse on Tuesday nights.
Tuesdays.
Golgothan TV. Follow me on Twitch, Lil Lufa, LILLOUFA. I'm playing some games right now. I like to try new games. So if you want to hang out, listen to me complain about the enemies because I can't beat them easily, come join me. I've complained about losing. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Yeah, man.
I'm going to get this episode dropped, and we're going to be back on Wednesday for another one. It's going to be like a triple header this week.
Good seeing you guys again. Good seeing you again, bro.
You too, man. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in.
All right, later.
Later.